On the cover, Mighty Briar and Moonflower are surrounded by smartly dressed security guards on a grand casino floor, with the head of security smugly sneering down at them in a trim white suit from a balcony above. At the top of the page, barely visible through the gilded glass ceiling, Dark Fox can be seen carrying a duffel bag, leaving behind a trail of falling poker chips. Wonder World Comics proudly presents The Midnighters, Volume 8, Fox Hunt, Issue 1, Straight Flush.
Prepare yourself, dear reader, for another gripping tale of adventure, drama, and self-discovery. This is Wonder World Comics.
So, our comic opens with a wide shot of New Olympus in the evening. The glowing neon lights of Midtown are shining brightly. There's a few lights still on in Paragon Isle. And the next panel brings us kind of closer to Paragon Island. And over the top of all of this, there's different voices cutting in and out from what sounds like different news programs, different radio shows, interviews, that sort of thing. Saying student protests have broken out in schools across the city after the violent arrest of teenagers breaking curfew. Yeah, a lot of us are concerned about all the new government programs and institutions moving in, like the UNHRA moving their new headquarters. And it's institutions like these. I'm talking about this library down over there near Midtown and in Old Town. It's got acting as a shelter for these miscreants that are out there causing violence. And more reports coming in about parents worrying about not only weapons and guns in their school, but now having to worry about other children with superpowers threatening the lives of. More legal trouble for Clyde Alistair after another robbery. Protests have started turning violent. The mayor's issuing a statement. Farsak has his full support and the support of the local police department moving forward. Have been pulling in more to the window of an office building. And we see Eden in her office late at night with a radio scanner on. Flipping through channels as you are. What are you working on? What does your office look like? There is also a little note in the corner of the panel that says 4 weeks after volume 7. And so, Eden, what are you working on? What does your office look like? What have you been up to during this 4 week break?
During this break, Eden has been in Europe staging a coup. As one does. She has taken a little trip to, where's our made-up country in Europe?
Latvia?
Sure. She's been over there pulling some strings to raise some dissent and tensions among Baron Z's like inner circle and just girly things, staging a coup.
Is this a personal project?
Yeah. She still feels kind of bad about how that all went down.
Is she working in coordination with Princess Imturis, or is she just...
Went to Europe.
This is a personal project. That's great.
Yeah, she just figures if it works, then she can reinstall the princess and be on her merry way.
Awesome. How's that going?
I think it's heating up. I think it's going pretty well.
Awesome.
There's a reason this is happening off page. I didn't want to get into the particulars of how one stages a coup.
Yeah.
But I feel like it would make a nice little pet project for Eden. I feel like she'd be good at that.
Yeah, yeah. editor's note, see issues 67 through 72 of The Unstoppable Moonflower. Did you ever decide on like a solo name or like the name of your solo comic for Moonflower? Because I know there was like The Untouchable Gloriosa.
I feel like I decided and then forgot. We'll consider and get back to you.
Probably one of those things. We'll get back to you, future editor Michael. Magnificent Moonflower.
Yeah. Magnanimous Moonflower.
That's the first word people think of when they think of Moonflower. I feel like her office is probably like she's been away, but I think she's left it in a pretty good spot, and she's just kind of, you know, when you get back from a vacation and you're just kind of like settling back in.
Awesome. And
sorry, I just was belatedly laughing at the word vacation.
And as you are kind of settling into your office, reviewing your board of information, you notice out the window at the Farsec HQ, one of the floodlights at like the very top corner, back corner of the building is flickering on and off in like a weird pattern. And you realize it has been for like the past like 10 minutes or so, probably at this point.
I would like to assess the situation.
Absolutely. Go ahead and give us that roll plus superior.
Okay. So that is a 7 plus 2 for a 9.
Boom.
I guess I'll ask, like, what here is the biggest threat? But in other words, like, what's with those lines?
So you realize that the lights are blinking out Morse code, just like a string of numbers that you pretty quickly put together are a radio frequency. And then you also realize that just the way, like the floodlight, like the light is positioned, it's not even really like a floodlight. It's just like one of the like lights on like the banister of like the top of the building, but just like the way it's positioned, it's like really hard to see unless you're angled just so happens to line up perfectly with this particular window of this particular nondescript office building. Writing down this radio frequency, the biggest threat is whatever is causing this light to flicker at Farsec HQ is most likely trying to contact you in a very discreet manner. And that can't be good.
Well, she's... I mean, if it's Farsec, she probably kind of hopes it's Shrike, but he does have her phone number, so this seems like a unnecessary way to get a hold of her. But she's going to tune into that radio frequency.
And it's kind of static for a while, and then a voice reads out a message. It says, just like a pre-recorded message on like repeat, that repeats like every minute or so. It just says,
I'm glad to have finally made contact with you. I hope my warning is not too late. The event that marks the beginning of the end for the Midnighters begins in the next few days. Choose your fate carefully.
And that's probably it.
That hurt my voice just listening to it. I think I need a drink of water now.
Clockwork will be sending letters from now on.
Yeah, I think Eden, I don't want to say she disregards that because she's not like it's pretty ominous. It's also not super helpful. What's what she's supposed to do with that? So I think she's going to stew on it for a while deciding what to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And as Eden decides to disregard it and not worry about it while stewing on it, wondering how it could possibly ever be relevant, we turn the page and we get a panel of Ryan. And Ryan, you are skating home from practice late in the evening towards Uncle Patrick's house. What do you look like? What are you wearing? What's going on? How are things going in the world of Ryan?
Yeah, so Ryan's had a haircut in the last 4 weeks.
Oh yeah.
So she's shaved her head. It's like, I don't remember if I said this while we were recording or not, but it's like my Roman Empire. I've, for the last like however many months I've been playing Ryan, just been thinking about her asking various members of the team, like, do you think I should shave my head? So she's just been like doing that for months and has finally done it. I think she's got a couple more like ear piercings now. He's wearing like, I mean, obviously his shaved head is under his helmet. He's got all of his like protective equipment on because he's skating. I think they've got a little bit of makeup on today, which is weird because they went to practice, but they've got some like cat eye eyeliner on. They have like a really large, like super oversized t-shirt, which is kind of impressive given how huge Ryan is that they found a shirt that big. But it's like really oversized. And it says fruity and floral on it with like a rainbow. And it's sort of like, one side of it is kind of like half tucked into like some little booty shorts. Yeah.
I love it.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Yeah. So we get a shot of you arriving at, Uncle Patrick's house and unlocking the front door. Doesn't really look like anyone's home right now. Take the helmet off and we get like the glorious money shot of the shaved head. Is it like cue ball shaved or is it like buzz cut or?
It's like buzz cut. Like it's
okay.
It's like a number two or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Razor. Okay. Cool. Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Cool. Not a razor. Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Yeah. The awesome haircut. As you're kind of like going, through the house, like what's your like routine when you get home from practice? Do you like grab a snack? Do you go like,
stretch? Yeah. So yeah, normally, Ryan will kind of go in, she will dump her skates and all her gear in the living room, despite the fact that it stinks real bad and Patrick always asks her to move it later. She still
but like
put it there.
It stinks real bad and you're not gonna have that like in your bedroom.
Well, exactly, I have to leave it there to air out. And yeah, then they go like into the kitchen. Usually they're a little bit sort of they're kind of energized after practice. Like they're not really they usually have sort of like wound a bit down on the way home and then are hitting another peak of just like bouncy energy. So they usually just kind of like grab a snack out of the cupboard, like a thing of chips or something. And they usually stand in the kitchen eating it, getting crumbs everywhere.
Awesome.
They start a cup of tea in their mug that they got for Christmas from Lilith.
Awesome. Awesome. And this whole time there's been this like really annoying, like beeping sound, just like a really just like, not like shrill in like it's loud, but more like, just like it's just right on the frequency. That's just like, you know, it's just like, you just like can't ignore it. Coming very faintly from somewhere else in the house, just like every couple of minutes. And it's like, right as you were about to forget about it and like not think about it, it's just like,
Yeah, I think every time it goes off, there's like 5 minutes of like frantic searching and like throwing things around. And then, and then Ryan gives up and then it goes off again and they're like, ah!
After a few panels of this, finally you're able to narrow it down. It's coming from Patrick's bedroom.
Oh.
And
he's definitely not home?
He's definitely not home. And the door is ajar, which is why the beeping has been being so loud throughout the house.
Ryan's like looking in the room and then looking at the front door and then looking in the room again. And then eventually, just pulls the door closed. Ah! Okay.
It sounds like it's just like right there, like right next to the door, whatever it is, like fell off the like end table and onto the corner of the bed.
Okay, Ryan's been going to the Cardigan School of Sneaking. Ryan's gonna like crouch down and like kind of like half close their eyes and like feel around on the bed for it, as though like this is any better than like walking into Patrick's room normally.
And you find it's like a it looks like a Fitbit watch, but definitely like a custom built one that is just so Patrick. But it's got just a red light flashing on it. It doesn't have like, it's only got like one or two buttons on it. And yeah, it is definitely what has been the source of this alert beeping.
Try and turn it off.
So you, as you like hit the buttons, you hit like the button closest to the blinking light and, you hear a from somewhere inside Patrick's room near the closet.
Oh, I run away. This is a horror movie, right? This is Ryan runs away and then comes back and like peeks in. Hello?
And you can see into the closet where normally it's just like Patrick's like shirts and jackets and endless windbreakers that it is like split down the middle and all the jackets and windbreakers and shirts have like slid to the side and there is just like a light, like something is illuminated just in the back of the closet.
Is the beepy thing still going off?
It is not. The light is turned off.
Okay. That's weird. I don't really like want to know what's in my uncle's closet. You know what I mean? It's just like not. But it's weird. It's real weird. I might try to call him on my phone. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it rings a couple times and then he picks up. Hey, what's going on?
Are you at work?
Yeah.
Okay.
What's up? You need something?
There's something weird in your... There was like this thing beeping in your bedroom.
Oh, I forgot. Don't worry about it. It's just low on batteries. I'll replace them when I get home. You just like stuff it under a pillow or something.
I tried to turn it off, but I think it worked, but it like.
Oh.
But is there like, that something like moved in your closet? I just, do you have like someone in your closet or something? Cause it like something moved in there and
no, I don't want to go. No, I don't have anyone in my closet. Jeez, okay. Ryan, why would I?
I don't know. I'm just, I'm home alone and it's kind of scary, you know, like when you're there's something beeping and you turn it off and then just, it's like a, you know, a noise and I just like, I feel like
I'm
like,
fell or something. Sorry it startled you.
What? Are you sure?
Yeah, don't worry about it. I'll get it sorted when I get home.
What? When? How late are you going to be home?
I mean, I should be, get off in the next, you know, half hour or so. You want me to pick you up something on the way home?
I feel like we need like a baseball bat or some, you know, like I don't have, we don't sport like that, but I don't think, actually my skates would probably like kind of clobber someone.
Don't you have superpowers?
Yeah, but you get mad at me when I use them in here.
All right. Well, I'll talk to you when I start, head home.
Okay. Just come straight home.
Okay.
Love you.
Sounds good. Love you too.
All right. So Uncle Patrick basically just gave me permission to use my powers in the house. So, the vines are going to climb out of my arm and creep across the bedroom floor and open the closet and poke around in there.
And inside is what is unmistakably a like secret super suit and like full on setup. It is the unmistakable high-vis vest, and like high-vis tactical vest and safety gear and sunglasses of the monitor, the cycle riding safety superhero of the burbs.
I think Ryan is gonna squint at it and then be like, is Uncle Patrick dating the monitor?
As you kind of look around in the rest of like the next to like all the gear and stuff hanging up on one shelf, there's a picture of, it's like an old just like Polaroid photo of Uncle Patrick and what looks like just like Black Ops tactical military gear, full on, like carrying an assault rifle, with one arm around the shoulders of another guy, whose face you can't really see, but who's also, you know, wearing the same full setup. On the name tags, you can see, the names on the front. It's you can see, what is Patrick's last name again?
Danzy.
dance. I mean, obviously, that just makes sense. Danzy, and then on the other guy, it just says asset 00. And next to that, there's a Purple Heart and a Medal of Honor, and an old key card that looks like an old like security credential that says X-Tech at the top.
I think Ryan is going to shove everything and try and put it all away in a way that doesn't look like it's been rifled through, but mm-hmm. take the photo mm-hmm. and keep the photo and then like leave the room.
As you are putting stuff back, your hand brushes across a button and a door behind the secret door opens up.
Oh my god.
It's just like a small, it's just a small room kind of, there's like some steep steps down into it, and like some lights flicker on automatically, but it's got like a low budget back computer set up, you know, like a few, not as many monitors at like the Shopko or in Eden's office, but you know, like, 4 or 5 monitors flicker to life. And then the walls are like lined with assault rifles and shotguns and sniper rifles and silencers and bipods and night vision goggles and flashbang grenades and ammo and pistols and just all the like tactical gear and weapons you could ever dream of.
It's like honestly kind of scarier than finding like a secret sex dungeon.
It is definitely not a secret sex dungeon.
I would have preferred it if it was. I don't know what this monitor guy has got my uncle messed up in, but I don't like it.
On the kind of the main monitor that is turned on, you can see that the tab that's been left open is what looks like security camera footage from the timestamp. You can see that it's recent, from like within the last couple weeks. That just says X-Tech Black Site Zeta.
I'm gonna like look at the key card that says X-Tech on it. Do you think I know the name?
I think you would probably recognize the name, like. It depends on how much you remember and how young you were, I guess.
I think I was pretty young. Maybe I don't know, like, X-Tech. Maybe I just remember, like, mm-hmm. the big X logo yeah. or something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's, like, yeah, very distinctive. Like, black X. And you do, like, know... Like Uncle Patrick, the story is Uncle Patrick was a security guard at this facility you were in, and he decided that he needed to get you out and saved you and adopted you. This is like clearly like an old ID card. That has like a black like magnetic strip on the back, like you could swipe it through something, but it's got Patrick Danzy's name and ID and like security clearance too on it.
Is there on the like monitor where it's like recent footage. Is there anybody like in the footage, or is it just like a room or a?
It's like pretty grainy. But on like the frame that it's been freezed on, it's you can see on the corner, it's labeled cell 32, and it's like a really dark, small, cramped room. And just in the back corner, there's a pair of like what look like almost like cat eyes, but with like human pupils and staring out of the darkness up at the camera.
All right, I'm going to close all of these secret doors and go close Patrick's room's door, and then I'm going to go sit at the kitchen table and stare at this photograph.
You're turning off the monitor with the...
I'm not touching anything.
Yeah.
Like, if it was on when I came in here, it's on now, you know?
But yeah, and as you're kind of sitting here staring at the photograph, and you just, until Uncle Patrick kind of finally gets home, says, opens the front door. And, oh, hey, Ryan, what's up, kiddo?
Yeah, she's gonna hide the photo in her lap. Look at him a little bit like blankly. Are you dating anyone?
Oh. Is that what this is about? Oh no. No, Ryan, of course not.
You got like secret, you know. Secret beeping things in your bedroom and you don't want me to touch it. It's like you're like it's okay. I just want to like know. You know, if there like was somebody hidden in your closet, that's fine. I just like no.
And he sits down in the chair, like right next to you at the table, with his brow furrows, and kind of takes a deep breath. He says, "You know, how before we met, I did some work that led me to discovering, you know, you in that lab and breaking you out. And since then, I've learned that there are more kids like you out there. That lab wasn't the only one.
Like they're still doing that stuff?
Yeah, I'm afraid so.
So are you like helping the monitor get him?
Oh, yeah. Oh, you could say that.
Can I help too?
I mean, let's be honest, Ryan. There's really no way I could stop you one way or the other, so.
But it's polite to ask.
It is. I appreciate that. And he walks into his room and grabs the the little watch off the desk and hits the button, and the closet slides open and is like, so how much did you see?
Ryan's gonna do like a version of what they first did when the thing opened, like be like, ah, and run out of the room and then come back in and be like, whoa, that must have been what I saw moving in the cupboard. Whoa.
Like I told you, I've been working with Mother Owl and a few other heroes here in the burbs, trying to track this thing down. And a new piece of intel came in just the other night. And he reaches under the shelf and hits the secret button. And for like a second, it looks like he kind of hesitates and glances back at the shelf, but doesn't say anything. It says, here, I'll take you down to my workshop.
Workshop? What? You got secret rooms in here?
One room, Ryan.
And I wasn't even allowed to, like, get a bigger closet? Like, you can have a whole freaking secret room?
It's my house, and I'm allowed to have a secret superhero lair if I want one.
I can't believe you didn't, like, even let me use it. I'm a superhero, too. You're a superhero?
He's going to stop and look at you and look back at the costume and look back at you and then, like, hold up the watch and put it on. Be like, yeah.
So you're not dating the monitor?
No, unfortunately, I'm not that not that lucky.
You are the monitor.
Wait.
Doesn't make any
sense. Why would you think you thought I started dating a guy for like a few weeks and then built a secret lair in my house for him?
Not a few weeks. I thought, like, maybe this is, like, that's why I was so upset. I was like, you've been, like, in a relationship with this guy forever. You're, like, his guy in the chair, and you, like, never told me about it.
Ryan, I would always talk to you if I was going to be in a serious relationship.
But not if you're going to be a superhero.
I mean, and he kind of climbs down the stairs and, kind of nods at all of the weapons and like military tactical gear. It says, it's a part of my life that I'm not super proud of. And
so it's not just because you would be like embarrassed taking me on super missions.
I worry about you, Ryan. Not only, you know, I mean, I know you can handle yourself. You fought some pretty heavy hitters. But I worry about you getting caught by these people again. That's what scares me the most.
Yeah, but what if they catch you? And what if I didn't know? And then what would I have done? I wouldn't have even known.
I mean, I would have used my communicator to contact Mother Owl, obviously.
Obviously. I'm going to give Patrick a hug.
He's going to give you a extra strong bear hug as well that lifts you up off the floor a little bit.
That's how you know he's serious.
Mm-hmm.
Why doesn't Steve hug them like that?
Because Steve can't lift Ryan.
Yes, he just doesn't love her enough.
I guess you could lift him. I mean, he does have super strength. But still. Yeah, Patrick says, honestly, I'm glad you know. It's a weight off my chest. Anyway, here's what I got. And he sits down in the little kind of old squeaky office chair he's got in front of his little supercomputer and hits play on the security footage. It says, there's only a few parts of the encrypted transmission that we were able to intercept. However, as you can see, it looks like they do have at least one child at this facility. And kind of skips forward ahead a little bit, and there's like an exterior shot of this like bunker looking exterior surrounded by concrete walls in the middle of the forest somewhere. And Uncle Patrick's continues as unfortunately, all of the location data and associated with the intel we intercepted was lost. All we really have to go on are these images. So we're not, haven't been able to make a whole lot of progress. As it kind of goes to one of the last frames of this exterior shot, you notice a silhouette standing on one of the exterior walls of a slight athletic build with a pair of very distinctive fox ears.
I know who that is. You know who that is, Patrick?
Dark Fox.
Mm-hmm.
Presumably.
Yeah.
New on the information front. Not a lot known about him.
Oh, my team leader, she's on it. She, like, Moonflower is, like, she knows, like, everything about him.
Okay.
Like, you should come to us first. Like, we would already solve this.
Patrick says, all right, it sounds like it's your mission then. And he pulls the flash drive off of the computer, says, this has all the intel we have. Let me know if you need anything. But I trust you and I believe in you. And I think you can do this. And he's definitely shifting your labels. And he is upping your savior. Mm-hmm. And lowering your mundane. He is like, recognizing that you are like a fellow hero who can handle themselves and are like, you know, no longer just his little kid.
Hell yeah.
I mean, not as much, but.
I'm accepting that. And I'm also jumping around excitedly and giving him like a hug, but it is not as organized as the other hug because I'm too excited. And he's like, yes, I have got this. I am going to do this. This is my mission. I have a mission. We're going to do it. And, I will let you know if I need anything. And then like, she's like running out of the secret room and then she like pauses. She's like, wait, we need more chips. I think I ate the last packet. Okay. That's what I need. And now I'm going to go, cool. I'm gonna find Moonflower.
And I just have to say this because I'm your dad, but, if anything does happen, you've got that communicator. Use it, and we'll come help you out.
About the communicator?
And we turn the page. Cool. So we are back at the temporary Midnighters HQ across the street from Farsec. Moonflower, what are you up to?
I think she was trying to get back to whatever she was working on beforehand, but that light is blinking and it is annoying, much like the beeper in the Danzy household was annoying. And like any reasonable person would, I think she's decided that the only way to get it to stop is to break into Farsec.
Yeah. Back
to clockwork.
That sounds like a very reasonable deduction.
It's just like right in her line of sight, you know. She could turn a chair around, but she doesn't want to face the wall. Like, yeah. I think she's going to call Shrike.
Okay. It rings longer than it ever has. Usually Shrike picks up pretty quick. But finally after like, you know, 4 or 5 rings, he answers like, "Hey, what's going on? I can't, really talk right now. It's not a great time. What's up?"
I was going to break into Farsec to talk to Clockwork, but if you're busy, I'll just do it myself.
Wait, what? Hold on, slow up. One sec. And you can hear, like, footsteps and, like, a door, like, sliding open and sliding closed. And then, like, more footsteps and then another door. Okay, wait. Why are you going to break into one of the most secure places in the city to talk to one of the most dangerous supervillains we still have in custody?
Well, I'm going to break into one of the most secure places in town to talk to the villain. I think that was already explained. And I'm doing it because he's sending me cryptic messages. And I'm getting really tired of people sending me cryptic messages. I've been getting a lot of them lately. There's this light and it's flashy. It's fine if you're busy. I can just do it myself. It's thought maybe if I like worked with you, I wouldn't have to blow anything up and it would be more fun. But blowing up something in Farsec would be fun too. So.
Oh my God, please, please, please don't blow anything up. Please don't blow anything up. Listen, I am doing everything I can right now just to try and keep the heat off of you guys. But like, if you attack the base while I'm here, they will order me to take you down. You know that, right?
You make it sound like they're going to know it was me.
Oh, my God. Just please don't blow anything up.
Fine.
Thank you.
Probably. I don't want to promise anything. I'll try not to blow anything up.
I'll take it.
Okay, well, it sounds like you're busy, so I will let you get back to that.
Yeah. I have more to worry about now, I guess. Talk to you later. Hopefully not too soon. Hopefully not after an explosion.
Whatever, bye.
Awesome.
Poor Shrike,
he's got a lot on his plate right now.
I mean, all Eden heard is that he didn't want to talk to her too soon, so.
Oh my God. Cool. So what's your plan for dealing with this blinking light?
Well, I can't just blow the light up now, probably.
Probably. Also, and or if Ryan, if you were going to like call Moonflower or arrive at the base, it would be now. Around yeah. here, I think.
Ryan just bursts in full costume and says, I can't tell you where I got it, but I got a submission.
Did you get it from the monitor?
No. Mm. How did you know that?
Well, Ian's going to say your network is not that encrypted. He should work on that.
Ryan definitely thinks that that is some sort of like double entendre or something. She's like checking her super suit to make sure that it's like not like ripped or falling. She's like, okay, that's weird. But anyway, yeah. And I'm going to give you the flash drive. Mission.
Yeah. And you too see the grainy security footage of X-Tech Black Site Zeta. And there's just in the last frame, just like you can just see like the head and shoulders of a guy in a jacket with fox ears.
That guy's your nemesis, right? You've got like a whole file on him.
I have files on everyone. But his
yeah,
is
but like
big.
He,
yeah.
Yeah, he's like, it's not like your file on me, which is like cool dude on team. It's like not cool dude doing shady things.
Neither of my files sound like that now.
You don't think I'm a cool dude?
No, that's just not what I put in the file. your file has things like that you know the monitor and that your home internet isn't very secure.
You knew I knew the monitor before I knew I knew the monitor.
You didn't know that
you
knew the monitor?
No, until like 20 minutes ago when he gave me this from his closet.
He hides his stuff in his closet.
In his secret I shouldn't be telling you about.
If I wanted to find it, I would have. It's just a closet. Was it even locked?
I don't know. There was some beeping and then I pressed a button and then it like opened and
yeah, I could have gotten in there. Okay.
But you wouldn't, right? Because he's a good guy.
So do you want to check out this thing?
He's a good guy, Eden. I mean Moonflower. He's a good guy, right?
Well, yeah.
Okay. Sorry, what were you saying?
Is that blinking light annoying you too?
What blinking light?
Okay.
The blinking light has turned off.
Well, if it's off. here's the thing.
It's like a little panel off to the side of Shrike bribing someone to turn the light off or something.
You didn't tell him that's why she wanted to break into Parsec.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Okay.
She said something about a blinking light.
That's true. She did, I think. She was so flustered. She barely even remembers what she said to him. Only that he didn't want to talk to her too soon. Okay. Here's the thing. She has leads on two people who have been sending her cryptic messages. One of them is hotter than the other. And... She's not voicing that out loud. But also, I think she
which one?
One, Kaylee. I think she also, after thinking upon it further, doesn't want to give Clockwork the satisfaction of knowing he's gotten her attention. And she is feeling a little weird about that conversation with Shrike. She might wait a little bit for him to forget a bit and maybe let his guard down a little bit more before she tries to break into Farsec. She really thought he was going to be more like ride or die there, but
this way you can like just like the next time you see him, he'll be like, oh, you didn't end up breaking in. And you can just be like, yes, I did.
True. That is funny if Shrike just never knows if she actually has broken in or not.
Wait, did you actually?
You'll never know.
I'm going to be honest. I don't think she told Belladonna that she was staging a coup. I went back, sure she didn't. I think Belladonna would have tried to stop her, and I think she knew that, and that's why she didn't say anything.
Why she didn't tell her.
Yeah. I need a break. I'm going to go run around Europe for a while. And Belladonna had her suspicions, but couldn't verify that Eden was going to do something like that.
Couldn't prove anything.
Did Moonflower tell the team that she was going away?
No.
Oh.
It was a little spontaneous. Things got a little heated on the Midnighters, and I think she's like, I need a vacation. And she went to Europe and staged a coup.
Yeah, Moonflower staged a coup. Ryan cut off her hair. It, same thing.
Same thing, basically.
It kind of is, yeah. No, I think that emotionally, it was kind of the same process.
Both catharsis.
Incidentally, I think that Moonflower's hair has grown out a little bit. Like, I think she hasn't really been keeping up with her bangs, and so they're more kind of like side bangs now than, like, they're just a little grown out. That was a really long way to get at. I think she's going to prioritize going after Dark Fox and following up on that intel.
That's good.
Awesome. Awesome. So, how do you find the man that not even Mother Owl and the Monitor could track down?
I'd like to assess the situation.
What's the plan?
Wait, I still have a question from assessing the situation earlier.
You do, actually. Yes.
What kit here can I use to find Dark Fox?
Awesome.
Take it away, excellent. GM.
This is perfect. You've activated my trap card.
Oh, no.
You have, been presumably keeping at least tabs on the coming and goings of what you can find out about the city's most elusive information broker. And what has stood out is there have been a string of just really brazen, blatant robberies of some of just the biggest casinos on Broadway in downtown Midtown. And just in the middle of the day, huge, huge amounts of money have been taken. Like FBI is investigating all of this stuff. There have been no leads, but your careful analysis of the video footage has revealed you can detect you can see kind of the shimmer of the holograms that Dark Fox uses to turn invisible, and have been able to kind of link him to a lot of these attacks. And if you put your mind to, you know, like really digging into the kind of digging into these cases, you could probably figure out what his next target would be.
I'm going to dig into the cases and figure out what his next target is going to be.
Awesome. Why don't you... go ahead and roll to unleash your powers. But you get a plus one because you're acting on your information.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a good thing I got a plus one. That's a seven.
Awesome. Awesome.
With the plus one, which is why it, anyway.
Oh, perfect. Perfect.
It was a six and then it was a seven because of the plus one. Just not to belabor the point, but.
But Ryan's being a little bit distracted.
Yeah. Ryan's in a mood. It's all good. So, yeah, so you are able to, been string of robberies at these like big casinos, and the kind of linking thread you've figured out between all of them is, I guess first I should ask you, would you like to mark a condition, or is the effect unstable or temporary?
I'm going to go ahead and mark insecure.
Okay, cool. You've been able to, the thread you've been able to kind of connect all of these dots with is, they're all owned by Clyde Alistair, and, they've, like the amounts of money that have been stolen are huge. And it's usually like cash or like, poker chips, stuff like that that's getting stolen in large amounts. But there have been like reports of irregularities in the accounting when it's been like investigated further to try and like figure out how much was taken and from where and stuff. And that Mr. Alistair's been very uncooperative with the FBI and like the city police. So yeah, based on the information you found, the only major casino on Broadway left that Clyde Alistair owns that hasn't been hit yet is the Alvarizia.
Cool. Eden sees an opportunity to get dressed up and go out on the town.
And we know you can't pass up those.
Nope. She sure has not passed up any of those opportunities.
Awesome. So we turn the page, and what does the like montage / choice scenes we get look like of the two of you getting ready for a night at the Alvarizia?
Ryan does not own it. Anything fancy enough for this, and also only brought her super suit, so
well, Eden's gonna be wearing like a black cocktail dress, like pretty like elegant but muted, and she's definitely putting on some red lipstick and kind of pulling her hair back in like a really like elegant updo.
Does the base have a wardrobe that Ryan can raid? Or
You would think so. This one fell on the safe houses after all.
I mean, more importantly, everyone should get to dress up. So yeah.
Exactly. The important thing is that we have people dressed up and looking nice.
It doesn't matter if the logic makes sense as long as the aesthetic is good. I'm pretty sure that's the rule of comic books.
Rule of cool is number one.
Yeah. So yes.
So yeah. The short answer is yes.
All right. So yeah. So Ryan will put on a white collared shirt and roll it up to her elbows, and some black like slacks, like suit pants that kind of stop at the ankle, over the top of her super suit. And she will also put on some makeup to match Moonflower.
Ooh. Man, that looks so hot. Okay.
Looking fly. And how do the two of you roll up at the Avarizia?
Take the bus?
Yes. She'd take the RV, but parking down there is so hard.
Oh, man. It's such a pain. And, like, pretty expensive, too.
Yeah. Well, it's an RV. Like, it's not easy to park. You can't just, like... sneak into some little parallel. Anyway.
So we have, we have this montage of everyone getting ready and looking super sharp. And it ends with like a nice, like full page, like shot of Ryan and Eden standing together, looking in the mirror at their final getup, you know, adding the last finishing touches and looking super badass. And we turn the page. And it's just a shot of the two of them, like, on the bus through the window as it's driving down Midtown. And then a panel of the two of them getting off in front of the Avarizia. And it's a, just huge, garishly lavish white and gold building meant to resemble something vaguely like Italian Renaissance. And, has just a huge fountain out in front of it. Lots of sharply dressed, waitstaff and security guards and cameras at all entrances and exits and windows. And, huge hotel casino. With a poppin' main floor.
Question.
Yes.
Are we old enough to even be allowed in a casino?
No, Eden hands you a fake ID.
There we go.
Oh. For you.
How old does it say I am?
18 to gamble, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And... is it my name on it or is it a different name?
It's a different name. She What's has name one with on your it? Name on it too, but are you going to make me come up with a name?
Yes.
I just need to know before Ryan says something that gets you both like completely kicked out, you know?
Yeah. The name is Ivy. Green.
All right, sweet. Yeah. Ivy Green. That's me.
And the burly security guards nod at you as you walk inside. And it is a beautiful giant vaulted ceilings, white columns with golden what are the things called at the top and the bottom?
Top and bottom of columns.
The
capital.
There we go. Yeah, the capitals of the columns are bright faux gold, and slot machines in endless rows. There's poker tables, blackjack tables, roulette wheels are spinning and clacking. There's lights and bells and just all kinds of noise and people in every direction.
I'd like to assess the situation.
Awesome. As Eden is wont to do.
Okay. Oh man. So I rolled a 5 and I have 2 on superior, so that's a 7. I'm squeaking by on the rolls tonight.
Nice. Just nailing it. Yeah. go ahead and ask one plus one from the list.
Well, I actually think Eden, as she's assessing the situation, really what she's doing is trying to figure out how she would rob this place to get an idea of how Dark Fox might do it. So I guess that would be, what here can I use to rob the casino?
Oh, I've got this. This is going to be good. I'm excited. Cool. So looking at this casino, you know that with any good robbery, getting out is just as important as getting in. And you would want to, as soon as alarms were triggered or security was made aware, you would want to be get as much distance between you and the building as possible. And given all of the glass windows and glass ceilings and windows, there's a lot of areas you could potentially access the roof and then be on to the rooftops of the Midtown Broadway Strip. However, there's a lot of great sight lines up there, because of all the glass. And so what you would do is you would probably need some sort of distraction down in the main lobby area near the entrance.
Interesting. I do love a good distraction.
Mm-hmm.
With my second question, I will ask, what here is the biggest threat?
That is an interesting question.
I'm really making the most out of this barely a 7 roll.
Oh, no, it is good and it is juicy. Oh, I'm so excited. Okay. What here? Okay. So the biggest threat is, as you are realizing, I would probably need a distraction, something to get security's attention down in the lobby near the main entrance. How would Dark Fox do that? You realize that's exactly where you are standing right now. And it looks like all of the guys in the suits are all sweating a little bit or standing up a little straighter. There's a few more of them than you would thought there were when you first entered the room. And it looks like the biggest threat right now is you are being set up as the distraction so Dark Fox can make his getaway.
Oh no.
Yeah, and it looks like security has been tipped off about these two, would-be thieves about to make a move.
Probably doesn't help that Ryan is standing there going, I'm Ivy Green, I'm Ivy Green, I'm Ivy Green.
Eden is going to sort of lean over onto Ryan, kind of like she's tired and leaning for support, and kind of whisper up in their ear, I'm going to cause a secondary distraction. Watch the skyline. And then Eden is going to pretend to have a medical emergency and use a mild poison on herself to make it even
easier. You're better at looking at things than me.
I'm sorry. The plan is the plan. I'm working on the fly here, Kaylee. Um, I don't know if that triggers "Are you watching closely?" Perhaps.
Oh, I think it definitely sounds like you've triggered "Are you watching closely?"
So I rolled a 7. I get a +1 from the assess the situation, right?
You do. Yep.
So that's an 8, and then I have 2 superior, so that's a 9. Or no, that's a 7 plus 3 is 10. It's a 10.
Perfect. Awesome. And not that, like, I think also we are about to enter a dangerous situation, as you have noticed that it looks like the head of security himself is making his way towards you, who is definitely a dangerous threat. So, who is the leader of our little team here today?
Oh, it's me, Flo.
Yeah, it's me.
Okay, cool. No, that makes sense. Awesome. So we start with 2 team in the pool. And captain. Then you are a captain, so we get an extra team. So we're already up to 3. Do you have influence over Patrick?
Patrick, shit.
Over Ryan.
I do love that Patrick was like, "I trust you, kid," and Ryan immediately went to a casino.
I mean, Patrick knows that you got to go undercover sometimes.
Patrick trusts me. I trust Moonflower.
There you go. Awesome. So that's another team. So we're up to 4. Do either of you mistrust each other?
Nope.
No.
Awesome. Sweet. So that brings us up to 5. First. Moonflower, what is your purpose in this fight?
I would like to catch Dark Fox.
Awesome.
Same.
Sweet. Okay. Now we are up to 4 team in the pool. Do either of you mistrust each other?
Nope.
No.
Awesome. Are you guys ill-prepared or off-balance?
I don't think so.
You don't?
I think so.
I mean, I feel like Eden was like at least a little like, I might be walking into a trap.
Ryan wasn't expecting to be crucial in a plan. You know what I mean? Like,
fine.
It's really important that you look up at the skylight, and she's just like absolutely certain that that is not the right job for her.
Ryan's like, don't tell me to look anywhere unless it's at a hot girl.
Basically, like, have you seen me? I get distracted. I look at hot people.
She just hoped that having a hot girl tell you to do the thing would aid in the compliance.
Oh, she's gonna try to comply. She's just like not very good at it.
She's just worried about it.
We can be off balance. We can be off balance. It's fine.
Okay, cool. Would you like to mark a condition, or are we going to remove a team from the pool?
No, I think removing that team seems fair.
Yeah, okay, cool.
You didn't kind of just push him off the deep end a little bit.
Poor Ryan. Cool.
It's my first mission. Uncle Patrick gave me this mission.
Cool. So we have 3 team in the pool. Awesome. And you just rolled a 10. So you get to pick, what is it, 3 things from that list? 3
things from my list.
Oh, man. And what is that list again for the folks following along at home?
Yeah, so the list is you get an opportunity, you expose a weakness or flaw, you confuse them for some time, you avoid further entanglement. So I would like to confuse them for some time.
Seems important.
And get an opportunity for Ryan to carry on since I do think narratively, I'm putting myself out for at least a few minutes. And I'd like to expose a weakness or flaw.
Okay. Okay.
So while you're thinking, I will set the scene a little bit, maybe.
Yes. Yes. Please set the scene. What does it look like as you dose yourself with a mild poison?
So I think she is kind of like leaning against Ryan, looking like, I mean, she's still kind of play acting at this point, but looking like she maybe feels a little tipsy or unwell, gets her message off to Ryan, and then kind of like steps away, like she's going to go to the bathroom or something, and walks just a little bit away from Ryan and sort of stumbles and falls. And as she's falling, you see her kind of like, I think it's like a skin-to-skin contact sort of poison that you see her kind of from her pocket rubbing on her finger a little bit.
Why would you really poison your... Why wouldn't you just pretend?
Good.
It's got to make it look good.
So is Ryan supposed to be not coming over to check on you? Because that is her instinct.
Yeah, you should not, like, I think, I don't know if we can say she indicated that somehow when she was talking to Ryan, or she just kind of gives her, like, a little head shake before she...
I mean, yeah, you did say, watch the ceiling.
Yeah. Ryan, if it makes you feel better, Ryan doesn't need to know that she's actually poisoned herself. She can just think she's putting on the performance of a lifetime.
Yeah, she's putting on a great show right now.
So, yeah, I think you see her kind of end up falling on the floor and going into, like, a bit of a coughing fit.
Cool. And the security guards begin to rush over. The chief of security, who is walking over, looks a little bit confused and then looks around and says, call a med team. Get an ambulance here. Hurry, hurry. And people are starting to kind of look around at Moonflower and kind of the commotion that's going on. And now is you definitely, yeah. And during all of this, while all of their heads are turned towards them, we see Ryan, Ryan, all decked up to the nines in his awesome white shirt, looking up. And through the skylights, you can see a figure in a white fox mask wearing a black jacket and some tactical gear, with a duffel bag slung over their shoulder, making their way across the rooftop.
Oh, she told me to watch it.
Ryan!
She told me to watch it! Is he coming in? Is he leaving with it? I don't know.
He's running across, like, your line of vision, like, across the rooftop right now.
Is the duffel bag full or empty?
It is. Looks very full. It's
So I should be on the roof right now. I shouldn't be down here.
Yeah, it looks very full. It's unzipped, and it looks like some things might be, what looks like poker chips might be falling out.
I can't get up there without not looking at it anymore. How do I get up to the roof? Well, I just run outside?
I mean, no one is looking at you right now. Everyone is looking at Moonflower and rushing over there. So you definitely have, like, an opportunity where no one is watching you at all. No one's paying attention to you.
I just feel like that they would see it if I, like, shot a vine out of my arm and, like, climbed up it.
Listen, I rolled a 10.
Yeah, yeah. You have an opportunity, and you get to avoid entanglement with the security forces. So, like, the distraction is working. There are kind of, like, people rushing over, and you could, like, you can, like, pretty easily just duck behind a pillar and probably shoot a vine up. Yeah.
There's probably going to be cameras. Oh, this is all... I don't like this. Okay, I'm going. I'm climbing up the pillar. I feel like rather than, like, shooting a vine up and then climbing up that, the vines are sort of, like, wrapping around the pillar, and I'm like, using them as handholds to climb up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
While trying to keep my eyes on the skyline.
He's moving pretty fast. But yeah,
last time I went up against Dark Fox, bad things happened, all right? And now, well, Eden's like, you go do that, and I'll just faint. Like, come on.
I don't know what you thought we were going to do on this mission, but it was going to involve going after Dark Fox.
But not on my own!
Not on your own. I'm causing a distraction.
I want to be the distraction next time.
Well, we didn't have a whole lot of time to plan this. I came up with this on the fly. I believe in you.
I love it. And the weakness that Moonflower has exposed as well is because she kind of noticed the trap about to be sprung and then kind of sprang it herself earlier than expected. Like, Dark Fox is very clearly, like, moving a lot faster than he thought he would need to. He's clearly in a rush. The duffel bag isn't even zipped all the way closed, and there's like poker chips falling out of it as he's making his way across the rooftop. So he is definitely, like, not on his A game right now as he is trying to make a getaway.
That makes two of us.
Awesome. Yeah, so as Moonflower, you watch Ryan shimmy their way up this column, and you're able to then kind of pop through one of the skylights. The head of security at the Avarizia looms over you as the medical teams are kind of, like, they've made sure you're not going into, like, anaphylactic shock, are, you know, putting ice packs on you to try and lower your fever and stuff. But as he steps forward, everyone kind of steps away, and he is a huge, just, like, mountain of a man in a, like, a white, tight trim suit that's just really well cut. But the most intimidating thing about him is the cybernetics in his eyes and jaw, because this is Watchdog, and he has cybernetic implants all over his body. But most prominently, one of his eyes is replaced with, like, a cybernetic camera. And then his entire lower jaw and parts of his upper jaw are replaced with kind of a wolfish looking, like, super, armored jaw with, like, big, sharp, intimidating teeth. And he is the infamous head of security here. Known for being not wanting to get the authorities involved and would rather settle problems with would-be thieves himself in a back room or a dark alleyway somewhere. But yeah, and he glowers down at you with his eyes just, like, full of suspicion, before his face kind of goes, like, calm, and he puts on his PR face and says, is everything all right, man? It appears you had some sort of medical emergency.
Yeah, I don't know. It came on so suddenly. I don't know if someone slipped me something or I don't know what's happening.
Please, right this way. Let's get you to one of our medical units so we can get you checked out by paramedics. And he's quickly trying to usher you like out of the main entry area. And you also notice he is looking around suspiciously. He definitely clocked that two of you came in and there's only one of them here now. He doesn't know exactly where the other person went, and he's got to kind of play PR guy for a hot second while things get back under control. But he isn't, you can tell he's not, he's, you know, supposed to be suspicious, and I'll call him watchdog for nothing because he is, notorious for keeping a close eye on, his clients.
Yeah. And I think to make it seem less suspicious that Ryan is no longer there, Eden's going to, my friend came with me. They said they were going to the slot machines. Maybe you could go find them.
Don't worry, miss. I'll have my men sweep the security camera footage. Don't worry. We'll find your friend.
Well, hopefully they're gone by then.
Meanwhile, up on the rooftop.
Yeah.
Ryan, you have made it to the roof. And Dark Fox is almost at the other end. He's clearly gonna make a jump to the next casino over, and then, you know, presumably has a getaway vehicle stashed somewhere nearby.
I'm just running after him going, wait. You could take your thieving and stuff. That's fine. I need some information. Could you wait? Could you stop?
And he slides. He's like takes one step up onto the edge of the roof, like he's about to launch off it, and pauses and turns. Says, "What is it you want, Briar? If it's a rematch, what? You're gonna have to get in line."
No, I don't want a rematch. No rematch for me. That's cool. Also, right now I'm undercover, so I'm actually Ivy Green right now. Just get that one.
Ryan is committing to the bit.
This is my first mission. I will not fail.
You wanted to talk? Make it fast.
Yeah. You know X-Tech? I need some information about one of their sites.
And Dark Fox pauses, and like you can almost see the gears spinning in his head. He definitely didn't expect you to know this information, but he is also like definitely thinking of something. He's in full-on scheming mode, trying to figure out how to deal with it.
Could you not look at me like that? Because it's really kind of freaking me out. I know you were there because we had this like this picture of you. It's the, I don't remember what it's called. It's like Black Sigma Zeta site.
Been running reconnaissance. Mm-hmm. My business to know everyone's dirty secrets.
Oh, yeah. I just want to know if you could share some of those dirty secrets with me.
What's it worth to you?
a lot. I don't know, how do you quantify something like that? It's like, you probably already know, like, that X-Tech is like how I'm like, yeah, and she like, you know, gives a little muscle, her little brambles stick out a little bit and wave. So you like probably already know that, but like, yeah, I don't know how to quantify how much it means to like stop them doing all this to like other people.
You're right. Awfully hard to put a number on something like that. I guess we'll just have to say you owe me a favor.
What kind of number though? Because I could just, like, if it's out of 10, like 10. Like 10 out of 10 importance. And then I don't have to owe you a favor because you know the number.
Ryan's bargaining skills are immaculate.
Or what?
Immaculate. They're just fantastic.
Oh, thank you. Stumped him. Got him.
You stumped the GM. You didn't stump Dark Fox. This is all getting cut.
No.
With the power of editing, I can make Dark Fox look really smart and witty.
I will always.
If perhaps you want to temporarily jump back to Eden, I think that's what she's doing next.
Yeah, exactly. What is Eden doing next? She's being whisked towards. What an excellent idea you just had, Gyra.
So I think that Eden's been whisked to this little, like, side medical, little mini medical facility, where I think they're taking her vitals, and I think she's going to ask to go to the bathroom, and she is going to take from her pocket a little remote detonating device and flush it down the toilet quite a bit so that it's, you know, elsewhere in the pipes and not like so obviously coming from the part of the
casino. Yeah.
And blow it up and cause a distraction from her distraction. And hopefully use that to slip away.
Amazing.
Shrike only said to not blow up Farsic.
Yeah.
You didn't say to not blow up a casino.
Yeah, you had explosions on the mind and needed to vent, so it's a classic Eden move.
Well, she didn't promise him, you know? She talked about him and she's like, I shouldn't make promises I can't keep.
I'm just trying to figure out what to make you roll. If it's like an unleash your powers or another, are you watching closely or, or perhaps a provoke someone? No, it's not really a provoke. Yeah. What do you think? Is it like I guess you said you're providing a distraction from your distraction. So it kind of sounds to me like another, are you watching closely?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Cool. Let's go with that then.
Okay. Well, that's a six.
Uh-oh.
I am hopelessly embroiled in it and under pressure, and I have to mark a condition.
Oh, I love that. That's my favorite result.
You don't make Michael happy.
Oh my god. Hopelessly embroiled? That's like a game master's just dream come true.
Do I at least get to mark potential?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, that's the upside of this. I actually don't feel like I get to mark potential all that often.
Mm-hmm. No, it's important to mark potential.
You do know that this is, it's like Ryan is still on her own now.
Well,
against Dark Fox.
Pretty good.
I tried.
This is a terrible mission.
I'm going to mark angry. I already have insecure marked, and I think those are just I think the conditions for Eden are less like cause and effect and more just there's an order they go in that it's like she starts out insecure and then she gets angry. And then she either goes hopeless or afraid. Mm-hmm. She's never been guilty, I don't think. Yeah.
It's like a cycle of grief, but
yeah. The five stages of condition.
The five of emotional breakdown. The fifth stage being drop a space station.
I don't even know that she had conditions marked when she did that. yeah, embroiled. Have at it, GM.
Yes. Yeah, you click the detonator and there's like a small rumble from somewhere deep below the casino. Like a couple alarms start going off. One of the like sprinklers goes off over a section of slot machines. And like customers are kind of screaming. And everyone's kind of rushing over there. And as you're kind of sliding the detonator back into your little handbag and turning towards the side exit, a massive hand in a black wet leather glove clamps down on your shoulder with an iron vice-like grip. And the like 6'7", 300-pound pure muscle form of watchdog looms over you. Says,
I'm sorry, miss. I just think we're going to have to take a closer look at your identification.
And his robotic camera eye flashes menacingly. So yeah, what does Eden's face look like as she gets got by Watchdog? And then that will be like a side-by-side shot with Ryan's face as she's staring down Dark Fox, trying to make a deal to get this information.
I think Eden looks more annoyed than anything.
Ryan looks very determined. Like their eyebrows are kind of like scrunched together. Their eyes are a little bit narrowed. They've got like their jaw set, maybe like in their like reflection of their eyes is like the X logo of X-Tech.
Yes. Oh my God. That is perfect. And that's the final panel of our comic.
Wonderworld Comics is an actual play podcast of Masks, A New Generation by Brennan Conway. This issue was GM'd by Michael Dunham, who can be found on Twitter at GalvanicMan. Moonflower is played by Kyra Nelson, who can be found on her Twitter at Kyra M. Nelson. Mighty Briar is played by Kaylee Newberry, who can be found on their Twitter at Kaylee_Newberry. Wonderworld Comics is produced by Michael Dunham, and it is edited by Michael Dunham and Kaylee Newberry. The music is from Dvorak Symphony No. 9. Do you have questions or comments? You can get a hold of us on Twitter at WWComicsPodcast or send us an email at WWComicsPodcast@gmail.com.